Yes, we miss you too, Pastor Jim and family. I'm seeing Pastor Jim right in front of me. But it's so good to hear from our pastor as well as from Edwin and the family. And it's so good to also be able to see their homes. You know, through all these videos, we actually get to see the homes of our pastor and our church members. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And one of the things which Amanda said was to keep praying. I want you to know, church, as well as those who are listening in, that we are praying for you. We are praying for you. Every night we have been praying for you from 7 o'clock onwards, and since the 19th of March, we've been praying for you. And we pray that you will have the power to face each day, especially in this very difficult season. Today I've entitled my sharing, Fight This War on Bended Knees. Fight This War on Bended Knees. On bended knees, falling on his face, Jesus fought the war for us 2,000 years ago, so that we can have the power to become the children of God. On bended knees, Paul, on the road to Damascus, he fell on the ground on bended knees, and he heard the voice of God that gives him a commission, and he received power. Today in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 or verses 14 to 21, and that's our verses for today. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. On bended knees, Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians, we were told in verse 11. Three times, in fact, in that very short passage, Paul prayed and Paul went on his bended knees. In verse 11, it says, Paul knelt before the Father. In verse 16 and 17, Paul prayed and he prayed again. Because Paul knew the secret of power. The power of fighting this war on bended knees. And the way that we need to fight this COVID-19 pandemic, we need to fight it on our knees. Last night in the Prayer Connect, Joanna made a very powerful quote that was made by Albert Ernest Richardson. He is a missionary. And it says, prayer is our highest privilege, our gravest responsibility, and the greatest power God has put into our hands. The noblest, the sublimest, the most stupendous act that any creature of God can perform. So I pray that I'll be able to use Ephesians chapter 3 to let you know about the power of praying on our knees. So right now, where you are in the living room, wherever you are listening to this video, that you would, or this live stream, that you would find a place and find a spot that is cozy for you to kneel down, and we're going to pray as we kneel. Father, we thank you this morning. You have taught us how to pray. You have also taught us how to bend our knees. This is a time, dear Lord, we want to commit everything to you. We go on our knees to pray for the world, that God, you would intervene at this time with your power. We also go on our knees, we bend our knees before you, to also thank you for the breakthrough that you have given to Australia, that we are able to see that the curve has been flattened, that things are going to come back soon. Lord, we thank you. We can only go on our knees to say, dear Lord, we thank you that you have been our shelter, you have been our refuge, and whenever we call on you, you are available to us. So Lord, we thank you so much. Dear Lord, I pray that you will help us understand how we can do this, Lord, together with you by fighting this war, Lord, on our knees. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. think it's a good posture to have, going on our knees. And we don't have a lot of opportunity, maybe even in our service, to bend our knees. But maybe we can start this good posture of going on bended knees before our Lord. See, a lockdown does not lock down the power of God that is at work, especially when you pray or when you receive prayers. So it's not just you pray, but it's also people praying for you. And it brings down the power of the Lord. See, this power of God is extraordinary. It is not human strength. It is the very nature of God and is demonstrated at the resurrection when Jesus overcame diseases and eternal death. This power exists on its own. It stands alone. It is not dependent on any force on earth. It has the ability and the power to move things and to produce things and to bring about change. That's how powerful prayer is, and that's how powerful Jesus is. That's why three times in Ephesians chapter 3, the word power has been mentioned. So if you look at verse 16, it says, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. So out of his glorious riches, he wants to strengthen you with power through his Spirit. And then in verse 18, it says, so that you may have the power to grasp. And then in verse 20, it says, able to do according to his power that is at work. The best part of this scripture, and as you read these scriptures again in your free time, the best part about this scripture is that this power that is so supernatural, that surpasses everything, that is existent on its own, that is great and magnificent, is within you. Is within you. So the power of God is at work within you when you pray and when people pray for you. That's why I started off the sermon just now saying that you have been prayed for to have the power to combat whatever you are facing today. Prayer, first of all, will change the way you see yourself. I say that again. Prayer will change the way you see yourself. Paul said in verse 14, he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I'm sure you would like to find out what was the reason. Because when you read something like that, you want to go in the verses before to see what was this reason. And if you read verse 13, the reason was given there. What was the reason? The reason was this. In verse 13, it says, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. In verse 13, this reason why Paul went on his knees, why Paul prayed and prayed again, was because the Ephesian Christians were discouraged. They were discouraged because Paul was imprisoned for the gospel. They were discouraged and they were suffering because Paul was in a bad place, a place where he was imprisoned and when the gospel was not able to be preached. And Paul saw the danger sign flashing in the Christian community, flashing in the church, the word fear. Because when you are discouraged, you then tend to be more fearful. And when individuals are fearful, then the collective force will also be weakened. If the father is fearful, the mother may be fearful. If the mother is fearful, the kids may be fearful. When you are fearful, people around you can also be fearful. When you are discouraged, you'll be surprised that people know that you are discouraged. And people can also be either discouraged with you, or they can be trying to be funny with you, but it may be coming from a position of fear. So within the confines of the Roman prison, trapped between the four walls, bound and shackled, Paul delivered a liberating message, a message on freedom, on bended knees, of the glorious power of God at work in your lives when you pray. And right now, as we look at the body of Christ in the world and in Australia, the body of Christ is suffering because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Churches in Australia are closed because of the fear of the spread of the virus, or the government has made its legislation, its rule, its law to let the churches not be gathering together. Right now, the world is in deep darkness. I just read the latest statistics. About 2.9 million people are infected. 200,000 people have died, and 830,000 have recovered. Thank God for that. But worldwide, discouragement is tangibly felt. And when there is discouragement, people can lose courage. And sometimes that courage can make you fear more and take your confidence away. Now, as we look at businesses are struggling. Restaurants are closed to sit-in customers. Some restaurants are open for takeaways. So those who are doing Uber Eats, you know, it's so good that in Australia, our restaurants can still do takeaways. But the once bustling streets of even Hay Street or Murray Street is now really very, very quiet, like a ghost town. There is so much uncertainty. There is so much fears. And when you have all these fears overwhelming you, it feels like you have lost courage. You can feel discouraged. And discouragement can empty you. It can empty you of your courage. It can empty you of even the ability of being able to see the sun behind the clouds. So discouraged you can't see the sun. So discouraged you can't see the rainbow after the rain. So discouraged sometimes you can't even hear the birds chirping. But there is good news. The good news is found in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's exactly what Billy Graham said as well. Billy Graham said the Christian life is not a constant high. He says he has his moments of deep discouragement. Men of God that can command a stadium of so many people when they come and hear him when he was alive, says that he has his moments of deep discouragement. And he says he has to go to God in prayer with tears in his eyes and say, "Oh God, forgive me," or "Oh God, help me." We need to go on bended knees. And we also need the prayers of other people. We so need the prayers of other people. I'm so encouraged that in our lockdown, when we are all staying at home, having very few programs or even fewer programs than before, but we've got prayer going on from 7 o'clock, praying for the church, praying for you who are listening in, and praying for the world. It is so good to be in the environment of prayer. You know, we have written a letter to our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and, you know, in his business, you know, he's got so many things to attend to, but one of the things I really appreciate is he replies our letter. You know, it's good, you know, if your leaders write to you, it's good to reply. If your pastors write to you, it's good to reply, because it really encourages them. So it really encourages me to read this letter from our PM. And he says, "It's encouraging to know that Australians like you are praying for me," he said. He says, "We all need prayer and prime ministers as much as anyone else. We all need prayer." You see, prayer will change the way you see yourself. It will change your discouragement to encouragement. It will change your despair to enlightenment. Paul prayed on bended knees. That's why in verse 16 and 17, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The Spirit, who is the counselor and the comforter, will indwell you when you pray and when you are being prayed for. You say, oh, but I don't pray. Yeah, someone is praying for you. Praying that the Spirit will want to come and indwell you with a deep peace. And the Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to you, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when you pray, or when people pray for you, the Prince of Peace wants to come and guard your hearts, so that you will be able to have the power to face today and to face tomorrow. So it's always good to be in an atmosphere of prayer. Either you be the one who is praying, or you receive prayer, because prayer dispels discouragement. In fact, I would encourage you that after you have prayed, you know, sometimes we pray all our burdens, and then after prayer, we take our burdens back, and then we go back to our own life. I would encourage you that after you've prayed, after you have taken a deep breath of heaven's air, that you don't go back to your old air, take up your burdens, and do life the same way. After prayer, you really can experience the simplicity of Jesus. You can really go and look at the blue sky. After prayer, you see that the sky is really blue. In fact, bluer than before you start praying. And you can hear the birds chirping, because in prayer, you have put your discouragement at the feet of Jesus, and you have gotten away scot-free from that place, and you are able to then see the blue sky, hear the birds chirping, and be able to find within all the messages that are in your WhatsApp and in your other media, there are so many. I don't know how people have so much time to send so many things, but there are really so many things in the market, but that you are able to find within the so many encouraging words that will come and encourage your heart. In prayer, you can see yourself differently. It's not like no movies, no life. Or no eating out, no life. In prayer, you begin to understand a new definition of life. This year, new things God says he wants to show us. Maybe it is new, this new definition of life, that we don't need to have activities to sustain us. We don't need to have so many things in our lives to occupy us. We can actually be simple. God wants to show us great and mighty things in simplicity, in being humbly occupied. I don't know, this time over, you know, even while plucking bean sprouts, taugay, you know, because you are in the presence of God, you can pluck your taugay also quite meaningfully. You know, you can listen to music with your family members. It's not like rush, okay, listen, go. No, it's like you can allow that music to soak in to your very inside. You can do simple things. You can talk to the plants. Just make sure they don't talk back. you can talk to your plants. You can be in the garden. Just being able to enjoy the simple things of God. Being able to go to work and feeling the presence and the covering of God on your lives. That's a luxury. Don't take for granted that, you know, we just walk in and out of our house each day to go to work. This pandemic has helped me understood that every action of mine can be so meaningful. Like now when I go to Chinatown, I thank God there is a Chinatown to go to. I won't complain that there are not so many shops anymore, because it's so precious. People put their lives out, you know, just to supply us some good food. So there is that gratitude. A prayerful life will also begin to have the right perspectives. When we pray, we won't be so discouraged, because prayer can distill our fears of bad news. I would encourage you, even at this point, you know, is that when you hear one bad news, be sure you hear three good news. And especially when you're hearing a lot of bad news, remember to go on your knees much more, because, you know, you take that much to be able to distill so much bad news. It is bad news that 5,000 people have no bread to eat. But it is good news that Jesus is in the midst of them with a boy who has got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's good news that you've got the job seeker or even the job keeper's package. It's good news. Don't let all the bad news overwhelm you. When you are prayerful, it will distill your life and you can look at the good things. It is bad news that a centurion's servant was dying, but it's good news that Jesus was alerted and Jesus healed the centurion's servant. It is good news that the ones who are infected has got a good chance of recovery. In fact, we are seeing about half of those who are infected recover from the virus. It's good news. It's bad news that Lazarus died, but it's good news that Jesus arrived on time and resurrected Lazarus from the dead. It is good news that the elective surgery is back for whoever that needs them. It's good news that businesses will soon be open. It is good news because the streets will be back to life again. When you pray, you are able then to see yourself differently. You'll be able to lift yourself up from a level of discouragement to a point of being able, being open in our eyes to see the power of Jesus. I'd like to go straight into the next point, which is when you pray, you will change the way you see God. You will change the way you see God. On bended knees in the sanctuary, you will see God not just as a power and a person that is tame. There's only like the lamb. And he's just, you know, gentle and meek and wouldn't do anything. That he's only governed by some of our very pale prayers. Or that he's a God that moves around only in the circles we draw for him. When you pray, you begin to change the way you see God as Paul saw God in Ephesians 3. In the novel written by C.S. Lewis called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Jesus was portrayed as Aslan the Lion. He's not just a lamb. He is the lamb on the throne. He is. He's gentle and meek. He is. But he's also the Lion of Judah. And in this novel, it is so interesting. I love this quote about Aslan. It says there, Aslan doesn't like being tied down. He's wild, you know, not a tame lion. He isn't safe, but he's good. He is the king, I tell you. Wow, Paul on bended knees saw the eternal Jesus. He saw the Jesus that could see all generations. He saw the Jesus that loves future generations. And that's why in verse 21 to 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. See, to the Ephesians Christians, the imprisonment of Paul means possibly the death of their teacher, the death of the gospel, the end of Christendom. This is what they are thinking. Somehow, and I'm saying this in the light of the COVID-19 pandemic as well,
somehow in our human mind, we equate crisis and tragedy with the end of the world, with the closing chapter of the story, as the point of no return. Somehow our brain is wired to just catastrophize. When we see something like that, even though it's so global and so pervasive, we imagine the worst. But Paul told the church back then in Ephesians 3, he says, no, look, I am in chains because of the gospel, but the power of the gospel is not bound. Jesus is not bound. Jesus is not tamed by this pandemic. See, God's love wants to break through. God's love wants to break through in its completeness. See, the power of God that is at work within us is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. God wants to do more. He wants to go beyond our imagination. He wants to use the outbreak of this virus for His glory and throughout all generations. In fact, I would say, even at this point in Ephesians 3, the Ephesian Christians were heading to a brave new world. The Ephesian Christians grew in this time where they were threatened to be dead. In its preaching of the gospel, the Ephesian Christians grew. In fact, it was the birth of Christianity, not the end. It was the enlightenment of the world, not the world of darkness. Church, we need to see things differently and from the eyes of God. We need to see power differently, power in the kingdom of God. See, the Ephesian Christians saw the testing times and they were discouraged. But Paul wanted them to see the bigger picture so that they can be encouraged. Church, God is not done with our generation. It is not finished until God say so. At this time, whilst people are dying, children are being born. Whilst many things have halted to a standstill, life still goes on. The church has closed its premises. We don't come to work. We don't come for service in the premises. But the church is awakened and is alive. God wants to have His outpouring of His love. Just now, Lynn, our worship leader, led us in the power of His love. God wants to outpour His love because His love is power. And God wants to do immeasurably much more than what we ever ask or ever imagine. I like what Pastor Pauline prayed in the Prayer Connect. She says, Lord, enlighten and enlarge us in this new thing. And we can ask God for that on bended knees. We can ask God, God, we don't understand a lot of things, but hey, God, You are not tame. Yeah, You're wild. You're powerful. You are loving. You are good. You are King. And dear God, come and enlighten us, enlarge us in this new thing. God is still at work. Today, even during this time, God wants to do a new thing, and God wants us to fight this war together with Him on bended knees or sitting up or any form you want, but pray so that we can enter into the new things God has in store for us. Amen? Amen. Let's find a spot in your house again and let's be on bended knees and close prayer at this time and asking God to visit us, indwell us with His power. Let's find a spot. Dear Lord, we thank You for this time. Such a dark time, and yet, Lord, You are the light of the world. And we go on our knees to understand this, that, oh dear Lord, we can change the way we see ourselves. Yes, Lord, we are discouraged at times when we look at the things around us having changed so much. The deserted streets, the indecision around, the insecurity, the instability. It really baffles us how things can change so quickly overnight. And sometimes our heart, oh Lord, can be discouraged. But we go on our knees to say, oh dear Lord, you are in control. And you know how to put that power of encouragement into our heart, into our inner being. So Lord, we're going to trust you. And dear Lord, we thank you for this pandemic, that we can see you for who you are. That with what is happening, so massive in its destruction, yet God, you are enthroned. You are sitting on your throne and you are in control. You're not someone who can be tamed by the pandemic. You're not someone who is intimidated by what is happening. In fact, dear Lord, you say in this world, we will have many troubles. And this is probably one of the troubles, a big one. But God, you say you have overcome the world. And so, dear Lord, we go on our bended knees. In humility, we say to you that, Lord, we trust you. And during this time, let the power of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, indwell our hearts, O Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, be of courage, be strong, be courageous. And don't forget to remember to pray and to go on your knees and experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on you. God bless.